will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations.
If you just do that. So we're not going to meet. meet this Wednesday night because of your situation as well. I do want to let you know some things in the prayer request today that Ross's dad is doing remarkably well. He's already in skilled nursing and having therapy, and they told him that he might get back to his apartment. That means Ross has to drive his dad's car back now to where he lives. But it's just miraculous. You know, when we first heard about George, it seemed like he wasn't going to make it in the next 24 hours. So thank you for the prayers of those of you that have been praying for him as well as for the family during this time as well. I do want to let you know that next Sunday is New Members Sunday. Do you want to know who's going to be a member of the church? You'll have to come next Sunday to find out. I'll let you know this. If things go according to schedule, there will be 12 new members. And so not everyone can be here. I know that. But there's going to be a special cake, a little special welcome after the service next Sunday for those of you that would like to just meet them and greet them type of thing next Sunday. So keep that under your hat until a week from today. Also let you know that 2 weeks from today, is it 2 weeks from today? Yeah. We have our annual congregational business meeting that follows the worship service. It usually doesn't take that long. It'll be a lot shorter now that Dean is recovering at home. So anyway, that's what's going to be taking place here at the very last Sunday of this month. We have our annual business meeting. And all friends of Harbor Fellowship, Harbor of Joy, is welcome to be here. You know, only thing is that only members can vote when it comes to things to be voted on, and we'll be voting on some of the things as well. So just keep that in mind for next Sunday. Also want to let you know that Meals on Wheels is happening next month again. We need some people to help us out for Meals on Wheels on Thursdays and Saturdays in the month of May. So it's a little bit ahead of time. But if there's something, some way that you could help out in doing that, that would be great. Even if you've never done it before, Charlie will help you with that if you need to figure out how you can do it. Or we've got some other people who have done it. Or you can ride with them type of a thing on a Thursday when they deliver, or Saturday and find out where to go type of thing. But there's a few more than normal. There's about 16 people that need Meals on Wheels, and that's a little higher than what we normally have. And then also the fundraiser that is coming up, it's the closing Joy Kids program. It's going to be on Wednesday, April 26th. And it's going to be supper and games afterwards. There will be a basket available to give to the Next Life Foundation, which is in Tanzania, Africa, that we know that Patty Griffiths is a part of that. And you can give at that time if you'd like to, or if you can't be here for that, it's like a gift towards that. That is wonderful. It's an idea of the Joy Us Kids. So it's not coming from Patty, it's not coming from me, it's not coming from anybody else. It's just the kids thought this would be a good thing to do, and they'd like to be a part of that. And they'll be serving. Thrivent has got some t-shirts for the kids, and it should be a good time the last Wednesday together with them as well. So the other things in your bulletin, one other one, just to let you know that on Tuesday, there is a women's Bible study that just is getting going. I think you met one time?
Me too.
And it's through the book of Mark.
And anyone can still come. It's just, you know, there's no book, all the materials are provided, so just come.
And Becky Rowe needs it. So just keep that in mind. And you know, whatever she does, it's quality. It doesn't mean anybody else does. It isn't quality, but she's very thorough in what she does as well. So we appreciate what you do there, Becky, with that as well. So that's all the announcement I'm going to give. There's others that you can read in your bulletin. I just like to have a word of prayer before I turn it back over to the praise band. Let's pray, shall we, Heavenly Father? It is great to be here today And Lord, we thank you so much for just the return of people that we haven't seen for a number of months because of the winter. Thankful that they've been coming back at different times. And Lord, may their hearts be blessed too as they come back to Harbor of Joy and then also see new faces that are here that they said, who are those people over there? Who's that? And there's other people here that are going like, well, who are they? You know, they must have been down south. So it's a good way to start to say, are you the one that went down south? Or are you the one that's just kind of new to Harbor of Joy? And we're just thankful for each and every one. And are thankful for those that provide the refreshments that follow the church service here as well. Lord, we're here today, like we said before, it's because of you. We get just a week away from celebrating your resurrection. And we know that every day we can celebrate your resurrection. It's not just one Sunday out of the year. It's because you live that our lives have been changed because of that. May you use us throughout this year in helping others to see Jesus and the need for him to be his or her Savior throughout their lives here on this earth. And so we are thankful for what you're going to do here today in our service and the lives that you will touch today because what goes on here. In Jesus' name, amen. Take it away.
Thank you.
Yahweh is just another name for God in the Hebrew language. Get it from when he says that I am. It's from there's no vowels in the Hebrew language. And so Yahweh comes out of one of the names for God that we find there in the Old Testament. Just like Elohim and Jehovah. Those are names for God. And so appreciate it. Where it says, shout the name of Yahweh, Yahweh. And not many people know that Yahweh is a name for God. I didn't know it was Yahweh until I was in my 30s. I never heard of Yahweh until it was kind of explained. It came up in Mason Seminary. You went like, who are you? Shazam. No. But the response of reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 6 through 8. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials.
These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire,
may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Though you have not seen me, you love him.
And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him.
And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Praise Band. You may be seated, except for Charlie. She cannot sit down quite yet. Lord bless you, Charlie. Just share your song with us today.
Recently, we have gone through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And he's told us he will be returning. We just don't know when. So I've got some questions that each one of us need to answer before he comes.
Invite you to stand if you're able to. If you can't, that's all right. Just want to read the scriptures where we find our sermon from today. It's John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. John 20, 24 through 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nails marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That is the whole theme of the entire book of John, verse 31, right there. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word before us. It is true. Every word. Thank you, Lord, for those that were able to translate it into English so that we can read it for ourselves and we can hear it in ways that we can recognize that it's in our language. It did not come quickly to be in English, but we're so thankful to be able to hear it, to hear your word, and to know that when your word is preached, when your word is heard, faith is also there. May that be the case here this morning, Lord. Bring us into your presence. And may we open up the door of our hearts to you today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we heard about the person, the first person who saw Jesus alive. And who was that? Very good. Mary Magdalene. Interesting, you know, women were not looked upon very highly in this time in history. And think of when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, who are the first to hear about his birth? Yeah, shepherds. Guess what? The shepherds were also looked upon as being the lowest rung on the ladder. And they were the first to hear, and the angels came and even sang songs, and they saw the angels, and they said, "Well, we got to go see what's going on in Bethlehem." And they saw baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph. Just think here in the resurrection, the first one to see Jesus back from the grave. In his resurrection state, is Mary of Magdalene. Mary from Magdala, a little village on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, where it kind of like didn't have a good reputation. Anyone who came from Magdala. Well, today we're going to take a little look at what happened after Mary Magdalene came back to the disciples and told them, "I've seen the Lord." She's the first one to say that. They heard John and Peter come back and say, "The tomb is open, but there's nothing, no one inside." They did not see Jesus. but Mary did. So today, I want to think back and probably age me a little bit, but some of you remember the TV show Let's Make a Deal? And remember the guy who was first there, I think it was Monty Hall, which goes way back. I know it's Monty somebody. And they still have it going on today, but there's somebody else who leads it. And the big thing on that show is that if you are picked as a contestant and you win, you can become the one who is at the end of the show to pick a door. Door number one, door number two, door number three, and there's kind of like only one door that's got the biggest prizes out of the other two. So it's kind of a way to keep people tuned in to see what they're going to win or get. Well, what we find here in our text today is it says that the doors were locked. Very interesting that it makes that so clear. The disciples were together, and this time Thomas is with them. And it's a week after Mary came to them and said, "I've seen the Lord." Had no idea where Thomas went and why it took him a whole week to get back to meet the disciples. And they told him of everything that they've heard that have come to them. And they shared with Thomas because, of course, he's one of them. He's a good friend of everyone here. And it's Thomas who says, and he's never been able to live this down ever since he said it, "Until I can see him for myself, until I can touch the scars or the wounds of him, I will not believe it." And so therefore, Thomas gets the bad rap. And sometimes you've been called this as well throughout some place in your life, a doubting Thomas. How many have been called a doubting Thomas? I'm the only one. Oh, Jeff back there. Yeah. You know, I don't know why it is. You know, the Lord says who he is. He does what he says he's going to do. And you see it happen time and time again. And almost it seems like next time something comes up, you go like, "I don't think it's going to work." And it does. And so then I've been called the doubting Thomas many times. And they go like, "And you're the pastor. You should be on fire and always say what's going to happen and be optimistic." And I go like, "Well, I'm just not wired that way. I'm more of a realist, and sometimes I've been surprised by God many, many times." Well, Jesus shows up in this room that the doors have been locked, but tells us that he is different now after the resurrection. His body is different than what it was before. He can walk through doors. Anyone who's in prison or jail, guess what? He can walk through the cells. Even though the doors are locked in the prisons, he can still go in and change lives. Doors and walls are no problem for Jesus in his resurrection state. I want us to ask ourselves today, what do I know about Thomas? Do you know anything about Thomas other than he said he wanted to see and touch Jesus before he'd believe? And there is. Surprise. In the scriptures, there are other places where it refers to him as Didymus. Now, Didymus is the Aramaic name for Thomas, and Thomas is a Greek name, but they both mean the same thing, twin. So some believe that he is a twin, but we don't know his twin brother or sister. But he's referred to as Didymus, that would set him apart from the other disciples because there were some thought that he was called Judas, but he wanted to make sure that he was referred to differently than that, and so they used Thomas and Didymus, just making sure he knew who they were talking about. Was he really a doubter or a negative kind of guy? Is that really his nature? We'd have to say it really wasn't. Thomas, in John 14:5, it's Thomas that asked Jesus this question. "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Thomas Thomas asks Jesus that question, and it is Jesus who says back to Thomas, "I am the way." It's kind of, you've heard it before, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." Those are the words of Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life is a person. It's not just a saying. It's really who Jesus is. He is the one who will show us the way to heaven. He is the one that tells us the truth all the time. And he's the one who gives eternal life. He wants us to have life. He's not one who is interested in death. He wants to bring life, eternal life, to each and every one of us. And it's all by faith. We see in Mark and in Matthew, both of these say the same kind of a thing. It's at the Last Supper, when Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me," like right now. And all the disciples had said, what did the disciples say? "Surely not." Remember the knot last week? In the little plastic egg, there was a knot in there from a piece of board that we are reminded of. It's a knot. A way to remind us that every disciple, which includes Thomas, would have said that. Thomas would have said, "Well, I surely wouldn't do that, Lord." And then it's like, where was Thomas when Jesus called him to join be one of the disciples? And the answer to that is, we don't know. We don't know where he was or what he was doing when Jesus says, "Thomas, come and follow me." Could he have been a tax collector? Because when you look at the names that are given of the names of the disciples, I was pleased to see that in Matthew 10:3, he's on that list, and he's list number 7, and he's right before Matthew. Well, Matthew was known as Levi. He was a tax collector. I thought, well, maybe there's some connection there between Thomas and Matthew. But then I go on and look at Mark chapter 3, verse 18. Thomas is listed as number 8. After Matthew. So there's different lists that are here. In Luke's gospel, we find that Thomas is number 8 after Matthew again. And we do know that it was after the resurrection when Peter and the rest of the disciples were out fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and someone on the shore kind of asked them, "How's the fishing going?" Thomas is in the boat. Thomas sees his friend Peter jump off the boat into the water and swims ashore. So I don't know if Thomas was a fisherman or he was just there because these are his friends. I'm not sure. And we don't know. But we do know that the legend says that Thomas went to India after the resurrection, and he died in India as a martyr for the Christian faith. That's kind of the end of his life. So, that's true or not, I don't know. It's just kind of what the legend says what happened to Thomas. As many of the other disciples went and became leaders within churches and the Christian faith, and many of them died for their faith. Peter died upside down in Rome on a cross, crucified on a cross upside down, because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified in the same way as his Lord. Can you imagine that? You got Paul, who became a believer in Jesus Christ. And before that time, I mean, he was great at what he did before as a Pharisee. He went out persecuting the Christians and going to where they were and finding them and bringing them back and putting them in jail. Sometimes they would kill them. He was present at Stephen, the first martyr that we hear about in the book of Acts, that was died for his faith. Saul, then, that was his name at that time, and he was kind of there watching or holding the clothes of Stephen. When Jesus comes into the room with these disciples, and especially with Thomas being there, notice that Jesus doesn't make him feel guilty. He doesn't come into that room and look at Thomas and go like, "Thanks a lot, Thomas, for leaving me. I don't know where," well, he probably knows where he went. "But you deserve to be, like the rest of these guys." Jesus doesn't come into that room to lay a guilt trip on them. But he says, "Shalom. Peace be with you." That's what Jesus says to these guys. Shalom means peace. And looking at Thomas, I think it's incredible. Jesus looks directly at Thomas and says, "Okay, Thomas, put your finger here. Or here. Take whatever palm you want, whatever hand you want, touch it. Put your hand in the side where the spear came and pierced my side." And he invites Thomas to do that. And it is after Thomas sees and touches, his response is, "My Lord and my God." We're a lot like Thomas. Sometimes we say, "I don't believe it until I see it with my own eyes. I don't believe it until I can touch it for myself. I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying I don't really believe you, but I really want to see it and touch it myself." When people tell me, "I'll see you in church on Sunday," I always go like, to myself, "I'll wait until I see the whites of their eyes." Because I've been told that many times before and I never see them. We like to know for sure that what you have heard is true or not. And you can't hold that against us. He just wants to be sure. He wants to be convinced that, yes, this is true. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus did rise again from the dead. And when he said, "My Lord, my God," and then Jesus says to him, "Stop doubting and believe," he does that. He does that. And Jesus says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they have believed." That's us. We have not seen Jesus, per se, in the body. But he says, "Blessed are those who do not see me and still believe in me." That's us, here today. It is Peter. Peter was there, and Peter says it in his book, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it is Peter who said, I think I stated this at Dave's memorial service. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him." People have you met in your life where you can say that they were real believers? They trusted God. They trusted in Christ. I saw that over and over again. And Thomas ends that verse by saying, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. There have been people in the hospital bed who've been dying, and they just say, I have such great peace. And will you just pray for me? And I'm going, I think you could just pray for me. I've seen that many, many times through my years. And I just shake my head and going like, I don't have the faith that I just witnessed with this person. Jesus doesn't need a door because he can walk right through any locked door. But here's something interesting, and don't forget this. He will not enter into your heart, your heart's door, unless you invite him in. It's the only door that he will not force his way in or go through, whatever. He waits for you to invite him in, to be your Lord and Savior. And that can happen today. And it should be something that motivates us today. But you know, we can say, well, Lord, let's make a deal here. I won't pretend that I know you, but I want to see and know you for myself. I'm not going to pretend anymore. I know who you are, and I know what you have done on the cross for me. I want to share in closing just a little story from a man by the name of Bruce Olson. There's a book that he wrote. It's called Bruchko or Bruco, and however you want to say it. I believe it's in our library. But Bruce is a Norwegian guy from Minneapolis, 19 years old in the 70s. Grew up in a Lutheran church. He was at home on his bed one night, 2 o'clock in the morning. He had been studying the Greek New Testament. He's been doing the Hebrew in the Old Testament, and he had a regular Bible there. And he just said, you know, Lord, you have changed the lives of the disciples. You've changed the life of Saul, became the Apostle Paul. A lot of people who believed in you, you changed their lives. And he goes, I want you to change mine. And so he laid down in his bed and just kind of like this, and he just started talking to God what was in his heart. And he said he knew that the Lord was in the room with him, and he was afraid, he was scared. But then he said he was covered and filled with peace, and he knew that Jesus was in the room with him. And he was so convinced of that that he began to tell the youth group guys, because they knew that Bruce had a problem with his temper. And they did everything they could, what they did before, that would make him mad, and he would just get all out of sorts. And no matter what they tried, he didn't get mad. And he said, the strangest thing is that God gave me compassion. He took away my hatred, my bitterness, my temper, and gave me compassion for people. At 19 years of age, began to sense that God wanted him to be a missionary. I remember. He lives in Minneapolis. That's not too far from here. He's a Norwegian as well. Did I say that? And so he just said, I want to do something, Lord, for you that I know it's you helping me. Long story short, he ends up in South America going to a tribe of Indians known as the Matalanis or Matalonis. Let's say that in my chair. Matalonis. This tribe in South America, whenever a white person had gone into this tribe or wherever they lived, they never came back out alive. They were killed by these Indians. And so he said, you know, I want to go to these Indians. He just took a plane from Chicago. He only had enough money for a one-way trip to Venezuela and then to find these Indians wherever they're at, talk to people who knew about them. And he went into the jungle to find them. And he spent over 15 years with them. But one little glimpse would happen when he was living with these people. No, he didn't know their language, and their language no one else knew either. It wasn't written down, but he had to figure that all out. But there was a witch doctor in the tribe, and it was a woman who was a witch doctor. And she would sing and she would chant if anybody in the tribe had some health issues. That was her way of trying to make people better. Well, Bruce is there and he goes, I did not come here to change the culture of these people, but I want them to know about Jesus. And so the village at one time, pink eye. Have you ever had pink eye? Everybody in the village, if somebody got it, it was contagious, you know, the whole village got pink eye. Everybody's rubbing their eyes, they scratch, they water, da 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 da. And Bruce had with him some ointment that he knew would take care of this pink eye. And so he went to the witch doctor and said, you know, you've got pink eye. If you put this in your eye, it'll clear it up. And the witch doctor said, no, you're a white man. You do things different than us. This is the way we do things here. And so he did not want to have this person lose face in the light of everybody in the tribe. And so Bruce found somebody in that tribe, and he took the pus out of one person's eye that had pink eye, and he put it in his own eye. He rubbed it in. After 3 days, guess what Bruce had? Pink eye. And he went to the witch doctor, and he said, here's the ointment. What I want you to do is to, it's like an eyedropper, drop these drops in my eye. And the witch doctor reluctantly did it. And then after about 5 days, the witch doctor looked at his eyes and they were all cleared up. And Bruce said, you can do this with everybody in your village. And so she did. And everybody got over the pink eye, and he was able to tell about personal hygiene. There's things in the village that were just gross. He said, if you clean this all up, and be mindful of the germs. He had a microscope even, and he had the witch doctor look in his microscope, and she said, they're dancing. And he said, what do you see? She said, well, I just see a bunch of things dancing in there. He said, no, those are germs. And he said, I'm going to add this to it. And he added that to it, and he said, now look in the microscope. And the witch doctor goes, they're not dancing anymore. And so you have to tell about germs and personal hygiene. And the witch doctor said, I will tell everybody that we need to clean this place up. And they did. And they were much better off than ever before. Jesus makes a difference. And he can help you clean up, become different, and be the kind of person that only he can make you to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm sure Bruce Olson never ever would have thought when he wrote this book that somebody who read it 40 some years ago would still be talking about it. But you're an amazing God. You're an amazing God. And you use each of us, at least you want to use each of us, in ways we could never ever think or imagine. So help us to get out of your way, to give you your way in our lives, in our hearts. May we open the door of our hearts to you today, as so many millions have done over the centuries. And yes, you can still change people today, even in the Great Lakes of Iowa, in Milford, here at Harbor of Joy. May we just say, Lord, here am I. I need you. I have no idea why you love me, why you went to the cross, but here I am today. I come to you, and I want you to be living in my life. Teach me what that means. Help me to see the truth of who you are and what you have done in the past, you can still do today. Help me to see people through your eyes and not my human eyes. May we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you're able to stand, please do so. We will recite the Apostles' Creed together, which says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. I just got an email this past week from a gal by the name of Andy Roger, another personal friends of Alan and Angie Pickard. She's going to be here in June 11th, sharing her story. She's from Sheldon, Iowa. Been in Romania for about 7-8 years. And she's going to be here on that Sunday, the second Sunday in June. just want to let you know that ahead of time. If you're going fishing, cancel that camp. Be here that Sunday. Go fishing afterwards. And they'll come with. Nothing like inviting yourself. But you're going to hear something from her that really goes along with the message today. How can God take some young gal from Iowa all the way over to Romania to serve him? Just like how can he take a Minnesota guy like Bruce Olson out in South America and touch people's lives for Jesus? So, may the Lord be with you and bless you. May his eyes be upon you. May you know that his eyes are on you because he loves you and he cares for you. And that he will give you peace, his peace.